amazing to me. But I sure am glad that He does. Man, if there's anything we ought to do in this day, and that's praise Him and thank Him for His goodness and grace in our lives. If you have the Bible's Genesis chapter number 12, we'll kind of pick up maybe a little bit of where we left off last week, last Sunday night. Once again, it's good to see you in the house of the Lord. And I hope and trust you've had a great afternoon this afternoon. Thank the Lord for His help this morning. And I pray that you got some help, and pray that the Lord would use that message in your heart and in your life. I'll be honest with you, there's none of us where we ought to be. There's none of us. We need revival in our church. We need revival in our land. But the land won't be revived till the church is revived. And man, our prayer ought to be, Lord, start a revival in me. Lord, revive me. Revive me. And honestly, if we're not as close today as we've ever been, then we're in a backslidden condition on the Lord. And I understand this. I know that everything's not always a mountain high. Sometimes there's valley lows, and sometimes there's deep and dark places in our life. But if we're not as excited about being saved today as we've ever been, something's wrong with us. Amen. Something's dampened us. Something's dampened our spirits. Something has hindered us along the way. Paul wrote, I believe, to the church at Galatia, and he said, "You did run well. Who hath hindered you?" Most of the time, I have to say me. I have to say me. I can't blame it on nobody else. I have to blame it all on me. So often we want to. We want to look at others and blame it on them, and look at others and use them as an excuse of our stagnation in our Christian life. But the problem is, it's us. It's a personal relationship with the Lord. It's personal. No matter where. I was thinking about John the Baptist this morning. Man, John the Baptist was the one crying in the wilderness, a voice of one crying in the wilderness. He didn't have a church. You think about that? He didn't have nobody to call alongside to help him. He was all alone, but he's full of the Spirit of God, preaching of the coming Messiah. Man, God used him mightily. God said, the Lord said this about John the Baptist. He said, "There's been none greater born among women than he." Man, here we are. We have to have our backs rubbed and our heads patted and our hands shook and, you know, spoon fed, and we think, well, man, if we just can't get it all, then man, there ain't no sense in us trying. Man, aren't you glad God didn't make you John the Baptist? Amen. Or the Apostle Paul in prison. Think about it just for a moment. Think about it. Man, we're too blessed. We are blessed beyond measure. Thank God for His goodness and His grace in our life. And let's begin reading in verse number 1, and we'll read down through about verse number 10, I guess. And I'm not going to preach on a famine again, but it's in our scripture tonight. But let's begin reading in verse number 1. "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto the land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed, as the Lord spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came, and Abraham passed through the land of the place of Shechem unto the place of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto thy seed, Will I give this land? And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abraham journeyed on, going toward the south, and there was a famine in the land. And Abraham went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, God, for your precious word. Thank you, Lord God, that you, Lord, are concerned, Lord, about us. And Lord, that you would inhabit, Lord, our praise, God, as comely, Lord. And God, as insufficient, God, as it is. And Lord, but God, I thank you, Father, this afternoon, God, for your goodness and your grace in our lives. And Lord, we pray thee, O God, that you'd revive us, O Lord. God, I pray that you'd, Lord, do a work in our heart. And Lord, I pray that God, that our salvation would become more real to us than it's ever been. Lord, our relationship, God, with you would become more sweeter, God, than it's ever been. Lord, that our work, God, that you'd have us to do, God, would burn, God, with a greater fervency of desire, God, than it's ever burned in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to see that, God, in this life, we must walk by faith and not by sight. And Lord, God, that it's not always easy, but Lord, the same faith that guide us, Lord, into this thing is the same faith that will carry us through. Lord, we love you, and Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name I humbly pray. Amen. Remember, the Bible said this in Romans chapter 10, verse number 17, that it is written, the just shall live by faith. Every step of faith that you and I take will not be sufficient for the next step. Think about that just for a moment. Every step that we take of faith will not be sufficient for the next step. The moment that you take one step in faith, it becomes sight. But the next step that you take will take more faith than the last step that you took. And we're going to look at that this evening, God being our helper. And I'm afraid we've gotten to a point in our Christian lives where we are discouraged because even though we don't believe a prosperity gospel and we don't believe the televangelist and your best life now and all this that's going on the wickedness of coming out of the television of the pay-per-view preachers, we still believe it to a certain extent. We still believe that we'll get to a point that our faith will become sight. There will be a day in our life when our faith becomes sight, but I promise you it will not be on this side of eternity. One day our faith will become sight in what we've believed in and what we've hoped in and what we've looked for and what we long for. We'll be able to handle and we'll be able to behold and we'll be able to see. Then our faith will have ended in sight, and our faith that we have hoped to will have produced fruit of fruition, and we will see those things and we'll behold those things as they are. But until then, the same faith that got you into this is the same faith that's going to get you through this. But understand this, every day is a step of faith, and every step of faith, it takes more faith today than it did yesterday. Now I know that the Bible has dealt to every man the measure of faith. And now let me say this unto you, you can become stagnant in your Christian life, and you can have faith that gets you out of your father's country and following the Lord just as Abraham did. And God called him from his old life. He got out of his old country. He left and he began to walk with the Lord and he began to follow the Lord in his life. But we will see, and you study through the life of Abraham, and I don't know that we're going to study through the life of Abraham, but as we look at Abraham's life and you know the gist of it, Abraham's life was a walk of faith. And every day that Abraham walked with God, his faith had to grow. Every day that Abraham woke up in the morning, there was a new test of faith in his life. And understand this, you as a child of God, that every day that you live is a new test of your faith. You'll face things tomorrow that you did not face today. You will face things next week that you did not face yesterday. Understand, your life is a walk of faith. The just shall live by faith. The Bible also teaches us that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Let's look at Abraham's life tonight and to see what the Lord has for us. We talked about last week about the call to get out and the call to obey and the covenant that God had made with him. And understand, as Abraham took that word of God and he placed his faith, because understand in verse number 1, the Bible said, and the Lord had said unto Abraham,
Remember, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God, Abraham believed God at his word, and he obeyed God because he believed God at his word, and he obeyed in faith, and he left that old life behind in faith, and he began to walk with the Lord. Now let's look here in verse number 4. And the Bible says, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed. And Abraham took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother, son, and all their substance that they had. May I say unto you this evening, there is a leaving faith that you must have in your life. And I'm not going to go back, and I'm not going to preach last Sunday night's message, but you better have enough faith that if you don't have enough faith that causes you to leave your old life behind and start a new journey and a new walk with the Lord, beloved, you, there is that faith that you have got and will not get you very far. Because understand this, we got into this thing by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. When you exercise your faith in the Word of God, when God called you from that old life and that old way of living and from in that old country, and God called you, you trusted God by faith and you entered into this thing by faith. And if you've not, then you're not in. Plain, simple fact. But there was a leaving in faith. He left. And many people today start their journey in faith, but very few continue. Think about it. Why do they quit? It gets hard. Things don't happen the way that they think they ought to. Trials come. Tribulations come. Canaanites come. We're going to look at that in just a moment. But think of the people that you know that in throughout your life that he stood up and testified and said, I've got saved. But yet they don't walk with the Lord anymore. They left. They made a conscious effort and a conscious decision. And maybe they even went too far, got baptized and joined the church. And they came for a while, but something pulled them away. What happened? Somewhere their faith failed. They said it was not worth it anymore. They said, I don't have enough courage to go on. It's too hard. And we're going to look at some different lives tonight. But notice here, many start the journey of faith, but very few continue. Look in verse number 5. The Bible said there that Abraham took his Sarai and his wife and Lot his brother. We see that Abraham led by faith. And may God help us as husbands, and God help us as daddies, and God help us as grandpas, and God help us as men of the church. May God help us to lead by faith, because understand, you and I cannot lead anybody where we've not been ourselves and we're not willing to go. If Abraham had not been willing to leave the land of the Chaldeans in faith, then he would have never took Lot and Sarah with him. Understand this, and whether you're a man or woman, whether you're a grandma or whether you're a young lady, and whether you're a wife or whether you're not, understand this, if you're going to lead anybody, you've got to have the faith to step out before them and lead them. They're not going to follow you if you don't lead. Everybody, so you hear a lot, well, I just can't get my family to follow. Well, are you leading or are you stagnant? So often where, I'll never forget Wesley's boss had a blind bull get out one time. And he got up there on the mountain and he found that bull up there on the mountain. It was blind and it was walking round and round the tree in a circle. And it had rutted it out. Walking round and round that tree. It didn't know where to go. It got there and it had no way to know what else to do. And beloved, there's a lot of Christians today, that's exactly what they've done. They've got to a place in their life and they're walking round and round and round and round in circles. And they say, this is a boring life. I'm just going to say this to you. The faith that you had yesterday will only take you so far. It's a new day and a new journey every day of your life as a child of God. There's new challenges. There's new mountains, there's new valleys, there's new victories, but there's new challenges. But notice Abraham, he led by faith. When he departed, he led those that were with him, those that he cared about, those that he had compassion upon. And understand, and I'm going to say this again, you can't lead someone where you're not willing to go. You can send them, but you can't lead them. And Abraham led by faith. He left by faith, but he led by faith. Now let's look at verse number 6. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. Not only leaving by faith, he led by leaving by faith, leading by faith, but he was leaning by faith. No, we sing that song, leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms. Well, notice right here, and I want to show this to you as we look through this. The Bible said, and Abram passed through unto the place of Shechem. That word passed through, Matt, there, it kind of leads to the meaning that it wasn't a hurriedly thing. But he did pass through the land of Shechem, and he went there unto the land of Moreh, but he didn't run through there, okay? Now understand something here. If you study your Bible out, you'll find there that the place of Shechem, or Shechem, it means shoulder the place of strength. Now understand this, when you walk in your life of faith, that God will teach you to trust and lean on Him. God will put you in a place in your life where you must learn that He is your strength. You can be like the psalmist and say, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and therefore I am helped. You can learn to say, God is a refuge and a strength, a very present help in a time of trouble. You can find there where the psalmist said, but the salvation of the righteous is the Lord, that He is their strength. Remember this, when you got saved, man, you were just called out and you were so excited and you were leaving that old life and that old way and you wanted everybody to come with you, but and then all of a sudden the Lord was gentle with you and He led you to a place where you could learn to depend upon Him and you could learn to trust Him, and He became a strength in your life. Why? Because there were coming days where you were going to have to trust Him as strength. Notice here, as we look here, God took him there to the place that he was leaning by faith on the shoulder and the strength. Y'all recall that verse of Scripture over there where the Apostle Paul had that thorn in the flesh and he besought the Lord three times that he might remove it. And God came back and said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You must learn in this life, in your walk of faith, that you must learn that God is your strength. And before God's going to throw you out in the fire, and before God's going to allow you to face some certain things, and we're going to look at some certain things here tonight, understand this, God is going to put you in a place where you can learn to trust in Him and let Him be your strength. That's what the word Shechem means. It means a shoulder or strength. And then he went through the land of strength into the land of Moreh, unto the plain of Moreh. That word Moreh there means a place of instruction. It was a place of instruction. Not only are we leaning by faith, but we must learn by faith. The Bible said this, for we walk by faith and not by sight. The just shall live by faith. The understand this, before, as we started out in our walk with the Lord, and we learned to trust Him, and we began to learn to follow Him, He took us to a place where we could learn some strength, and we could learn that He was our strength. And that trial of faith was not that bad. It was a time of learning. It was a time of gentleness in our life, but we could learn that the Lord was our strength. But then He also took us on a little bit further into a place where we could learn to trust Him and His guidance and His direction and His instruction in our life. The Bible said that if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. It was a place of instruction. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 8, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. That verse number 17 of Ephesians chapter 1, that God may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. Ephesians 3:10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Have you ever been to that place of Mora in your life where you've let the Lord instruct you? See, so often we get in verse 4 and we never go any further. We've departed. But understand this. Everything that's going to happen is going to happen. And if you and I don't learn to lean on the Lord and learn to look to Him for guidance, you and I will surely fail. Notice what happens. Why is it that God orders these things in our life? Understand this, there's a progression here. He left by faith. He led by faith. He leaned by faith. He was learning by faith. Now notice here what happened in verse number 6. As soon as he passed through the place of Shechem under the plain of Moreh, what did he come across? And the Canaanite was in the land. You know God's not going to throw you in the fire till He prepares you for the fire. Listen to me. The Canaanite was in the land. Who was the Canaanites? Anybody remember? The Canaanites was the sons of Ham. They were cursed by Noah. Remember when Noah got off the boat? He got drunk. Ham uncovered his nakedness and looked upon him. Noah cursed Ham and all of his generation. These were the cursed children of Noah. The Canaanites, they were cursed by Noah for looking on their father's nakedness. They are of the world. They are of the flesh. They are of the carnal mind. They were and still are the enemy of those that walk by faith. You'll find there that it was the Canaanites, all throughout the life of Abraham and his descendants, the Canaanites were out to get Abraham and his descendants. I'll say it out. You'll find the Canaanites. They were always resisting Abraham. Now notice here, the Bible said, let me say this to you, the Canaanites were against those that walked by faith. They're always at war with them. And may I say unto you today, they're still at war with those that are walking by faith today. They were at war with those children of Israel, Abraham and the children of Israel, all throughout their history. They were at war with them over their marriages. They were at war with them over their homes. They were at war with them over their liberties. They were at war with them over their lands. And may I say unto you today, God will not put you in the battle until He's let you learn some strength and wisdom before the battle. But here's the problem. The Canaanites, you don't have to go looking for them. They come looking for you. Think about that just for a moment. You ever had to go looking for trouble? You ever had to go looking for the enemy? Oh no. They're there looking for you. You don't have to get up in the morning and say, man, I'm going hunting. And I'm going to go find me a Canaanite so we can fight. Now, all you got to do is roll out of the bed and the Canaanite's there looking for you. Has already found you. You walk into the kitchen. You go to the job. I mean, he's on every hand. Why did God put Abraham in the land of Shechem and the land of Moreh before the Canaanite? Because God was preparing him for the battle. God was preparing him for the struggle that was coming into his life. But may I say unto you, if you bypass the land of Moreh and you bypass the land of Shechem and you don't learn that the Lord is my strength and my song, the Lord is my shield in whom I shall trust, and you don't learn to let the Lord give you wisdom, understand when the Canaanite comes into your life, you will surely be defeated. You'll surely be defeated. We're talking about walking by faith. You see, as He led him through, remember, God told him, he said, I will show thee. Look in verse number 1. All of this was Abraham was following the Lord. Verse number 1, he said, I'll take you to a land that I will show thee. And Abraham departed as the Lord had told him. And he passed through the land, in verse 6, and passed through the land unto the place of Shechem and unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. He went through the place of instruction. He went through the place of strength. Now notice in verse number 7 what took place. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham. Do you know this is the first time in your King James Bible that the Lord ever appeared? Many times it said the Lord said. The Lord spoke unto Noah. The Lord spoke unto Adam. The Lord spoke unto Abram. But this is the first time in the Word of God that the Lord ever appeared to a man. Now notice this. A lot of people want the appearance or the realness of God in their life, but they don't want to do what it takes to get there. They don't want to walk by faith. If Abraham had not walked by faith and went through the land of strength and the land of instructions and realized that there were those that was going trying to hinder him, the Lord, I don't believe, would have ever appeared unto him. Do you see the progression here? You see, that's what's wrong with people today, as I said. They start out in their Christian journey, and they start out and they begin to walk with the Lord, and then the next thing you know, they begin, and we're going to look here in just a moment, the failure that Abraham got into. They begin to look with logic. It's not faith. But understand this, they start out, but they don't prepare themselves. They don't take the time of where God has them as He's trying to prepare them for tomorrow's journey. And understand this, wherever you are in your life right now, if you're single, God's preparing you for your future. If you're a student, God's preparing you for your future. If you're a grown person, God's preparing you for tomorrow. God is always preparing you for something else. It's so often in our lives we want to skip the preparation. We want to jump from verse number 4 to verse number 7. But we must go through the land of Shechem and the land of Moreh and deal with adversities in our life. Don't despise where God has you, because God's preparing you for something. He knows that you're not equipped to handle what's in the future. He knows that if He showed you your life 4 days from now, 4 weeks from now, 4 years from now, you would probably be so scared to death that you'd quit. And that's why you need to take and learn all you can all you can, get all you can all you can get, why God has you where you are. Because He knows what's coming tomorrow in your life. He knows how He's trying to prepare you for your life. Yes, there's Canaanites in the land that's coming out to destroy you and to steal you and to steal everything that you got. But understand this, you stay faithful and you stay there where God has you right now at this point in time in your life, where God is trying to do a work in your heart. And understand this, this is not just for young people, this is for older people too, because Abraham was 75 years old. Because God knows what's coming next. And God is wanting to show Himself to you as He's never shown Himself to any other person. The Lord appeared unto Abraham in such a way that He had never appeared to anybody else. And I'm not talking about an apparition. I'm not talking about some vision. But I'm talking about the realness of God in your life. That God will appear to you and will change your life forever. I'm afraid, though, that most people have never gotten that part. They've gotten to the part that they've seen the Canaanites in the land, or they got to the place that God's trying to teach them how to lean on Him, or they've got to the place that God's trying to teach them a lesson, and it gets hard and they quit. We're like the children of Israel over there. Would to God we'd have died in Egypt. Let's just go back to where we were. I don't want to go back. God's made me some promises in the Word of God. God's made you some promises. God made Abraham. He said, I will do these things if you follow me. In church, may I say unto you, God's made some promises unto us, and God's made some promises unto you as individual, that God said that He would do some things for you if you'll follow Him. But you've got to walk by faith. And the Lord appeared unto him. And understand this, I believe this was in the pre-incarnate form of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the theophanies of the Lord. The Lord appeared unto him. No, I've never seen, understand this, I'm not going to stand here before you and tell you that I've ever seen the physical body of the Lord, or I've ever seen the spiritual body of the Lord, but I can stand here before you and tell you that the Lord has appeared Himself and showed Himself to me in ways that I had never seen Him before. He's made Himself real to me just like He did Abraham. Is that not what He done? He made Himself real. He let Abraham know who He was. He appeared unto him. The Lord appeared unto him because of faith. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, but as it is written, I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. God revealed Himself unto Abraham, and God will reveal Himself to you by and through the Spirit of God. But what was all this about? Well, notice in verse number 7, and the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Understand this, Abraham learned to worship. Abraham learned to worship by faith. The Lord appeared unto him and he built an altar there. And as he built that altar, he worshiped. And understand that altar was a place to sacrifice. Something had to die. Something had to die. That's what an altar was for. And Abraham built an altar there unto the Lord after the Lord had showed Himself strong and mighty for Abraham's behalf. A little bit of his faith had become sight. He had seen God in a way that he had never seen before. Remember, he started walking with God by faith. God said, follow me. And Abraham followed. But as Abraham began to walk in his journey, he didn't stop. He didn't turn to the right hand or the left. He stayed true and he stayed faithful. And God revealed Himself to him. And then Abraham said, hey, this is so good. God's so great. I'm going to build an altar in Him. I'm going to worship Him. I'm going to offer Him some things. And that's exactly what he did. He began to worship by faith. He built an altar. And then he began to live by faith. The Bible said, verse number 8, and he removed from thence in the mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. Bethel is the house of God, the house of bread. Ai is the land of ruins. Now understand this. You're in this world, but you're not of this world. And we want to be in the presence of God all the time, and we know that we have the presence of God living and dwelling inside of us, but we want to live like it's at the house of God all the time. But understand this, we're still in this world and we're stuck right dab in the middle of it. We got the house of God on one side and we got the wickedness of the world on the other side, and we're hung out in between the two. And we can make a choice every morning we get up which way we're going to go and which way we're going to face. But Abraham, God put him there, and he dwelt there, and he put up his tent there, and he had been Bethel on the one side, and Ai on the other. And what? Notice here, he built an altar unto the Lord, and notice what he did. He called upon the name of the Lord. He began to pray. Do you ever find anywhere through here that Abraham had prayed before? He'd never prayed before. He began to call upon the name of the Lord. He began to seek God's face, God's wisdom. Why? Because God had shown Himself strong and mighty and faithful to Abraham in these small steps of his life. And Abraham learned that he had to live by faith and call upon the name of the Lord and seek God's face in his life. And we wonder why so many people quit. We wonder why so many people walk away. I really believe this. There's a lot saved that out there, but they're not walking by faith. Why? Because hard times come. They didn't learn where God had them. They didn't learn that the Lord was their strength. They didn't learn that He was trying to instruct them in certain ways. They've never learned how to worship. Because they hadn't walked by faith, they've never known the realness of God in their life. Oh, they're saved. They trusted Christ as their Savior. They were born again. The Spirit of God moved into their life. But yet, it has been a long time since they had a personal encounter with the Lord. I'm afraid today there's some people, they've not had a personal encounter with the Lord since the day they got saved. Brother Sammy used to always say, it'd do everybody get good getting the glory every once in a while. You say, well, I've never been there. Well, I'm sorry. I'm just being honest. I'm sorry that you've never had a personal experience with the Lord. I'm just not talking about salvation. I'm talking about growing in the Lord. I'm talking about the Lord showing Himself strong and mighty unto you the way that He never has before. You say, God will do that? Yeah, He will. He sure will. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. I have not seen, ear, and not heard, neither enter into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. He reveal them unto him by the Spirit of God. Notice here, though, he learned to worship by faith. He learned to live by faith. Look what happens. Here's my thought. Here's where I want to try to help you. Just because you do all those things, don't ever mean you won't have a lack of faith. Notice what happened here. Verse number 10, and there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down to Egypt. Egypt's a type of this world. Egypt, nobody ever went into Egypt and came out better. Study it out. In Egypt, they always went down. The promised land, they always went up. Egypt, they always went down. Abraham got to a point in his life and a famine came, a hard time. There was a dry time in his life. And instead of Abraham going back as Jacob did to the house of God, and as he went back to the place where he had met with God before he met there Esau that last time in his life, Abraham said, Egypt's got bread. I think I'll go down there. He went to logic. Let me say this to you. Logic will lead you astray. Logic will lead you astray. Logic is not faith. Logic is sitting down and taking into account and you're saying, okay, this adds up, this adds up, this adds up, this don't add up, this don't add up, this don't add up. It's not of God over here. This job over here is going to take me from the house of God, and this job over here is going to take me away from the people of God. And this person that I'm dating, they don't line up with my values. I'm having a hard time, so you know, maybe I ought to go over here and see what the world has to offer me. That's what logic does. Logic took Abraham to Egypt. The same faith that that got him out of the land of the Chaldeans. The same faith that got him through the land of strength. The same faith that got him there through the land of instruction. The same faith that allowed the Lord to appear to him in a way that he had never appeared to any other man. The same faith that allowed him to worship God did not get him out of the famine. Think about this. If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 14. You have Schofield Bible page number 10:18, 10:19. Verse number 22 of Matthew chapter number 14. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walk on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if thou bid me, come unto thee on the water. Bid me, come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. The same faith that got Peter out of the boat didn't keep Peter afloat. What happened? But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid in the beginning, and he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Peter had enough faith to step out of the boat onto the water. But he didn't have enough faith to keep him afloat once he got on the water. I'm telling you, faith yesterday will not get you through today. Let me show you another place about Peter. Go to John chapter number 18. If you have a Schofield Bible, page 1140. John chapter number 18. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus unto the palace of the high priest, but Peter stood at the door without. Does anybody remember what Peter told the Lord in the garden? He said, Lord, though all men forsake thee, he said, I'll not forsake thee. Lord, I'm going with you. Wherever you go, God, I'm going. They led Jesus away there to Caiaphas' house, the high priest's palace, and Peter was right there, and he followed the Lord. He said, I'm not going to forsake him. I'm going to trust him. He called me on that day from when I was washing my nets and mending my nets. He said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And he says, I've been following him by faith. And he got to that door. But he did not go in. Your faith that got you this far has only took you this far. But it won't take you no further. Every day is a new test. Every day is a new trial.
every day's a new walk. You can claim it, you can commit it, you can be like Peter and say, hey, everybody else may, but I won't quit. I commend Peter for getting out of the boat. Nobody else got out of the boat. But still, the same faith that got him out of the boat did not keep him afloat. And I'm telling you, and I'm warning you, your faith is a daily thing with the Lord. You are to live by it every day. There's going to be trials and tribulations. Some days it's going to be smooth sailing. Some days it's going to be, man, you're worshiping the Lord. The Lord's showing Himself strong and mighty in your life. You're learning. But the next day may be a famine. 1 minute the Lord may be coming to you, walking to you to rescue you, and you're crying out because you don't know what's going on, and the Lord speaks peace, comfort, and peace unto you, and says, be of good cheer, it's I, be not afraid. And you're so excited about it, and you're saying, Lord, if it's you, let me come. Lord, I want to come to you. I'm going with you, Lord. And you step out of that boat, and then all of a sudden you begin to walk, and then you begin to look around at what's going on, and you're like, oh, wait a minute. Amen. What kind of a foolish mistake have I made now? There's famines coming into your life. There's storms coming. That's why you need a daily walk with the Lord, and that's why you need to understand and realize that yesterday's faith will not get you through today's problems. God's grace is sufficient. Your faith is what's lacking. My faith is what's lacking. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Abraham, the great man that he was, walked away from his whole family, left them. God had shown himself to him, and it got to that point when a famine came into the land. He had been living for God. He'd been worshiping God. Nobody else had walked with the Lord the way Abraham had. The Lord had never appeared to anybody the way that He did to Abraham. The Lord had never made a promise to anybody the way that He did to Abraham. But it got to a point, there's a famine came into the land, and Abraham hit some hard time, and Abraham's faith that got him that far didn't get him through that day. How do I increase my faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Never get the mindset or the attitude that you've obtained or that you've apprehended this thing or that it's smooth sailing or you can coast, because you can't. Because yesterday's faith will not get you through today's problems. I want Miss Evelyn to come to the piano. I don't know how to give an invitation. I don't know how to. I really don't. I just know that as I was reading and studying this afternoon, I seen that about Peter, and I thought, man, how many times my faith has got me out of the boat, but it ain't kept me afloat. How many times I've said I'm going to follow him, but I get so far and I lose my faith and I back up. I don't want to go back. I don't want to leave God, and I don't want to go to Egypt, bring out a Hagar. I want to stay faithful. We're standing all over the house.